Romans 14. Pete, I'm not going to have time to do it, but would you make sure that if Jeff isn't here to put the other trash cans out? Are you going to sit down?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm trying to help your friend, so go ahead and talk. I'm sitting down now, sweetie. You can babble to your heart's content.
Well, if I'm just babbling, why are you here?
Babble.
That's what I said. If I'm just babbling, why are you here?
I'm watching an old guy babble.
I see. We're going to spend some more time on the stumbling block. It's verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge, and the word judge there is krino, which is... That means it katakrino is to judge somebody down, but krino is to discern. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now let's look at this occasion to fall and the stumbling block some more. Let's go to the Psalm 19. What?
An interesting transition, though, to the concept in the same sentence.
What?
Don't judge anymore. Don't put a stumbling block.
Everybody remember what we talked about yesterday about a stumbling block?
Yeah.
What's a stumbling block?
An occasion to put your eyes on yourself.
For self-realization. Psalm 19. Well, let's just read. No, let's not. No, that'll take. No, I'll get sidetracked. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Notice sin is in italics. It's keep back thy servant from presumptuousness. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright. And I shall be innocent from the great transgression. What is this? What is the great transgression? The great transgression is the fall. And the fall is always minimized in modern theology. And so everybody concentrates on behavior or outward appearance, but hardly anyone concentrates on the religion that's going on inside you as the temple of God. And the religion that is pleasing to the Father, it cannot take place in you without your death. Without the death of ego, without the death of self, without seeing that you owe your mind and your emotions nothing. The word innocent here, then I shall be innocent from the great transgression, is the Hebrew word Nakka or something like that. I can never pronounce Hebrew words. But it means emptied. I shall be emptied from the great transgression. Now, let's look at this great transgression a minute. Let's go to Genesis 3. Let me say this, until the great transgression, the fall, is apprehended and understood and something done about it within you, your religion is phony. That's what Isaiah said. Your fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. You say you love me, but your fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. And so you blithely go on with your life. You set aside a percentage of your time, but all the while, everything you do is to make yourself comfortable, move towards pleasure and away from pain. Just do what humans do. But God doesn't care what your outward stuff is. He didn't care whether you call yourself a Christian. He cares what is the religion that goes on within you in the midnight hour. Everything else is just what you show the world. Amen? Oh, do we love to make a show?
How many times was Eve tempted before she finally took the bait?
We don't know. We only know the time. Well, you know what happened, the fall. Satan did something interesting. In verse 3 of chapter 3, let's start in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, there's nothing in it about touching it. And what the woman, she, who knows why? Does anybody here believe in comic book theology that this serpent, we got a snake that's talking and it's external to them?
Oh yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Again, does anybody believe there's a talking snake that's talking to Eve? The snake is and always was and always will be your mind. Do you believe that there was a being separate from Jesus that was tempting him in the wilderness? No. A son of man, it was the snake of his mind talking to him. That's all your mind does. It can't do anything other than snake stuff. You look puzzled, Mr. Chiz.
Is it the physiognomy or the spirituality of the snake, the spiritual, intellectual snake?
I have no idea what you just said.
Do I have worms in my brain or?
No, it's a parable. It's So remember yesterday I talked about that the word Jacob means the way of the snake? Mm-hmm. Everything in the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, are types, patterns, parables of one thing, of the Messiah. The four Gospels are the fulfillment of that one thing, Christ manifest. The letters in the Bible are all the expression or lack thereof that finished work in his people. And the book of Revelation sits over all of time and space. It's always true. But if even Paul even called Jerusalem itself and Mount Sinai itself an allegory. Doesn't mean they didn't exist, but it means that they had a different purpose than what was there. Well, you can say, well, why didn't they, blah, blah, blah. Well, they did it because they didn't want the human mind to understand it. Again, I'll say to you, in AD 165, the rabbis that had any sense thought that what happened, I mean, in BC, 165 BC, the rabbis thought that what happened that year was the death of Judaism. And the reason was, is that the what's his name? The Pharaoh, Ptolemy, commissioned elders to translate the Torah, the Bible, and put it in the language of the people. Now, that's a wonderful thing. That's what everybody wants. Now we've ended up with a living Bible, which is about as dead as a... But the reason is that in for all those years previous, there were not even spaces between the letters. There was no punctuation. There were no vowel points. So in order for somebody, if somebody picked up and looked at it, it would go, oh my God, what is this? It's a bunch of hieroglyphics. But it was only those that had the revelation that could understand it, that could teach it, that could speak it. They saw that all of the sacrifices and all of the sacrificial offerings were a mystery to show us how that Jesus Christ has met every possible need that you can have. When it says, by one offering you have been perfected forever, it's true. If you don't believe it, then you'll spend your rest of your life trying, oh, I should be this way, and I should be that way, and oh, what about this, and oh, what about that, and oh, poor me, and I'm just a victim of eternity. Back to the snake.
So now it's just the opposite. You pick up the Bible and the words are there and they can be understood and there's no understanding.
Right. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Having a form of godliness, but denying his efficacy, his ability. You believe in God like you believe the light's on. Wasn't that big of you? But you always think there's something about you or something that's going on that's just too big for God. Or there's something going on that is much more important to you than any God. And so what you're saying to the Father is that you are so friggin' special that the sacrifice of his Son was not enough for you.
No, but you don't understand. Oh, you don't understand my situation.
Oh, yes, I do. It's just common, ordinary flesh. Gary, what are you doing?
I was thinking about the Christianity requires your death. All other religions I can think of require yourself. improvement, self-enhancement, self-whatever. It's like it's the touchstone to something you believe in, because it is ultimate. And,
right.
And there's no waiver.
I mean, and you have to do all, you have to do this and this and this in order to get that.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's a deified form of self-realization.
And even this one can be turned into self-realization.
But not very long.
But the ones who are reading and looking for it can spend their life looking for it.
And what gets me is we think that being a seeker is so wonderful,
right,
and we believe we're all truth seekers, but we sell out. Every one of us knew during our teenage years that the value system of our fathers was crap. And what'd you do? You rebelled for a while, and then you sold out again. So you God, that's why most of the disciples were teenagers. But you sell out. What have you sold out for today? And here's what's so ironic to me. You're saying that you're trusting God with your salvation and your position for eternity, for the rest of the universe. And yet you won't trust Him to provide your next meal. That's kind of foolish. Does anybody understand me?
This kind of reminds me of a bunch of, well, like the prophets of Baal, or just a bunch of...
They're just leaping on
them? A bunch
them.
Of idiots outside the entrance to a cave, jumping up and down and going, woo-woo-woo, and trying to get the bear to come out and do something. And they have no idea whatsoever that the bear is bigger than the freaking universe.
What about 3:14, though?
God so loved the world.
3:14.
Oh, 3:14 here? Oh, I thought you said John. Oh, I thought, never mind.
16. That's okay. He's working. 3:14, I'm thinking literally.
Well, here's where we're going with that. I'm glad you went to 3:14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. On thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Now, listen, what that equal translation of that, upon thy belly shalt thou go, by thy belly you shall be led, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. Isn't that what the human race does? Now, let's just happen to go. I think Paul was teaching. You want to hear what Paul was teaching and said about that verse? Let's go to Philippians real quick. I'm glad you said that. You're like a shill here.
Rehearsed. I saw you.
Hey, we have a replacement for Clyde.
Clyde died, got chiz.
Clyde died, got chiz. All right.
We're going to Philippians.
Philippians what?
Philippians chapter 3.
See, I always had this being on two legs.
That's nice of you. What are you talking about now?
I'm talking about the serpent. You know, I'm going to cut off your legs and you're going to end up on your belly. I'm punishing Satan because he was a living, breathing, walking entity who was tempting Eve, and that the Lord said, I'm going to take that. You're going to...
Well, that's nice of you. I'm glad you think that. Now let's go and see what Paul said, okay?
Right.
As you can probably tell, I don't really give a rat what I think or what you think or... Or your opinions are not really very valid, nor are mine.
This is my preconceived notion, though, my whole life.
All right. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me.
Chapter 3,
verse 17. You got it?
Yeah.
Brethren. Is that your first word of your verse say, brethren, Chiz?
It is. It says brethren.
Brethren. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as so as you have us for an example. Now, that's an incredibly arrogant statement. The only thing that Paul said to walk as is by his faith. Now listen, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're enemies of Christ. They're enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, or who mind dust. What is the highest thing that you can conceive of achieving in the world? And I promise you, and gaining sustenance from it, you are eating dust. That's the reason the communion is so incredibly important. That's why he said he had 5,000 followers after he fed them. And then he said, unless you eat my flesh only and drink my blood only, you have no life in you. What that means is what we eat is what we gain sustenance and satisfaction from. And what we drink is what gives us worth. If we have worth in anything other than the blood of Christ, that's the only way the life is in the blood. That's the only way we're forgiven, because we're dead, and now the life is His blood. He didn't sloppy agape forgiveness around the world. The life is in the blood. You know, our sustenance is Him alone. We no longer gain sustenance from overgrown guys on steroids passing a pigskin around, or tall guys papping each other's ass throwing basketballs in the air, whether or not your child does well or not, or whether your wife is doing good. Your sustenance comes only from the Son of God. And herein he's saying, listen again what Paul said, and remember, upon thy belly, by thy belly shalt thou be led, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And you're eating dust if you're gaining sustenance and satisfaction from somebody else. That's the worst kind of dust. Am I understanding? Anybody disagree with this?
Well, no. For many of whom I have told you often, for many walk.
Many is almost all in Greek. That word many is almost all.
So that's not just believers who don't get it.
No, it's the world. Okay. There's no separation between believers and unbelievers. Religion can be ghettoized. You made something. I mean, anyway. Life. He is our life. And all that we're doing is being in this valley of sin and death is having our minds renewed. And that renewal doesn't mean, well, now I'm redeemed mind, now I can pay attention to what my mind thinks. But think of what, can you think of anything you gain some sustenance and satisfaction from that isn't dust? Diamonds, they're dust. Gold, they're dust. People's accomplishment, that's total dust. Money, big dust. Prestige, stupid dust.
Sex.
Sex, dust with dust.
Sloppy, smelly dust.
That's the best dust ever. You crawl around on your belly. See?
You, by your belly, you are led.
And
you're never satisfied.
Well, that's a parable.
All right. We didn't even get to where I wanted to get.
Is this the speech you gave last night?
What?
Is this the speech you gave last night?
I don't remember what I said.
But you know that last part, that's so, and that's just so telling. You drink water, a little while later, you're thirsty. Mm-hmm. You eat a nice steak dinner, the next morning, you're hungry. I mean, it doesn't No matter what it is, it doesn't fulfill.
That's why it says, why do you spend money for that which satisfies not?
That's the answer.
We've made Christianity an add-on to our life. Or if we're really sincere, then we say, he's our life, and then I'm devoting my life to it while I go do my thing. Because what I'm convinced that what my thing is his thing.
And God's working for me to get me that thing.
This is an anointed idea.
Yeah. The only anointed, the only way, it's blasphemy to put the word anointed on anything other than Jesus Christ. That's his last name. Yeshua HaMashiach in Hebrew. But Christ is, that's what Christ is. Christ is the word anoint. And it's taking the name of the Lord in vain to use the word anoint on something that's corruptible.
Even if it is of Christ?
You really don't want me to answer that. The only thing that's of Christ is Christ and his bride. Not something we do. It's use the world. Remember, it says use the world, but don't abuse it. That's what Paul said to us. Okay? The word use is like you would use a tool, a hammer. But don't abuse it. Abuse is the word, don't give it any breath. Don't give it any importance. You use it, but don't abuse it. Because what you give breath to is what you're worshiping.
So what do you use it for?
For him. You don't have to worry about thinking, well, about, is this this or is this this? If it's of God, it'll last. If it isn't, it'll go away. You don't have to spend your time thinking about it and wondering about it. You just live. You be. And you're free. Love God and have fun.
The question always hangs in the air. Yeah, this is all pretty good, but where do I fit in?
You don't. You don't, unless you believe in the quartet, the holy quartet.
That's why they...
I overheard you tell somebody on the phone several months ago that you said, as a matter of fact, I believe that God does more with us by what we don't have than what we have.
Oh, sure.
When we don't have it, we sit, we wait on God. Hmm. And I got to tell you, that just... First of all, it floored me when I heard it. Second of all, I knew it was true. And third of all, that's I'm living it now.
Man.
I mean, I can't believe that our silly little magazine, that God would have this magazine for 35 or 40 years. He would have tens of thousands of people who love it and just let it die. I can't believe that. So what I'm doing now is I have nothing to do. It's there. There's nothing for me to do about it. I'm just sitting and waiting.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter what happens. I don't care what the outcome is.
You've heard me say from the beginning, I don't care about Trinity Foundation. I don't care about the magazine. I don't care about the investigations. I care about you. We will exist whether or not anything else exists.
The magazine is not a comfort to me now.
Good.
The investigations are not a comfort to me. Being on TV and all that crap is not a comfort to me. We are a comfort to me.
Amen. Like precious faith. All right. Amen? Chiz is scratching his head about something.
No, I'm in Ecclesiastes.
We're going to study Ecclesiastes tomorrow morning if the creek don't rise. Take it, big guy. I got to go. We're going to go down.
Yeah, I was going to say, how's our time? I have the keys. If you have to do something, I can go get my keys for that.
Well, I just have to go get my
the stuff that I need to bring,
so
which
should I wait?